Alex Marvez, one of my all-time favorite insiders. Sirius XM, NFL, all the great work that he does. And a guy who actually follows closely the silver and black. Alex, thanks for joining us. And let's begin with what Kansas City and Denver did yesterday. Those games put Kansas City on a higher level, and Denver's season looked like it might have been slipping away if they don't come back in New Orleans.
Well, yeah, but see, that's why the Broncos are so resilient, right? Can we continue to count them out? They'd love to be an underdog every weekend. Think about that, JT. This is really the first time that we've seen the Denver Broncos on the field since winning the Super Bowl that you would say, hey, look, they are a flat-out underdog, right? I mean, they're beat up. Their offense isn't moving the ball. They got guys hurt. They're going to New Orleans. The Saints are a point-a-minute thrill show. No. You know what? And I think you saw a very spirited effort from the Denver Broncos yesterday playing off of that. And, of course, the huge win at the end, getting it done with some backup safeties, making a big play on special teams. By the way, Joe DeCamillis, their special teams coach, if he doesn't get head coaching interviews, at least interviews, this offseason, you know how messed up the process is there. This guy can be a great NFL head coach, in my opinion. And it's one of the things that I hate about with the league, with the general managers of today. They don't tap into the special teams pipeline. It's amazing how that position has just been neglected as far as the head coaching candidates go. As for Kansas City, interesting stat here for you, JT. Only six times in the 56-plus seasons of the Kansas City Chiefs have they ever come back from a deficit of two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Six times. That's it. They've now done it twice this season. Think about that. A very resilient group in Kansas City, and of course led by that defense. I mean, they got guys who go after the ball, and I think that's the big thing about it. Look at the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. I believe we're up to, what, 22, 23 quarters, you know, straight without a turnover? I mean, the Chiefs, they know how to play for the football. Marcus Peters, Eric Berry. They're awesome. I mean, it's a really good team. And, of course, the Chargers sitting there at 4-6. JT, look at that. They could be a team that honestly would be right near the top in the AFC North, right near the top in the AFC South. Instead, even if they win out and go 10-6, they're still probably sitting at home because everyone else in the AFC West is going to be better. It's a crazy year, but the Chargers also did a lot of this to themselves.
Alex Marvez joins us. When I saw you with Gil Brandt up in Napa for Raider preseason, did you think that the team would be a 7-2 team at this point, and what do you attribute it to?
No, I thought it would be more of a 6-3, I thought was upper end. And just because, you know, there's question marks. You know, we worry about stuff like, let me give you an example, Oakland and Jacksonville, right? The two teams that had the most offseason buzz among anyone. These are going to be the two teams that take the next step as NFL franchises and get back into the playoffs. Well, you saw what happened in Jacksonville. You know, you listen to your own press a little bit, and maybe the moves that you make in the offseason don't all come together really well. Well, the thing about the Raiders is it's Derek Carr. It's, you know, it starts with him. You know what, year 3, going on year 12, you know, as far as maturity, as far as handling the game, he continues to grow as a player. You look at Jack Del Rio and the focus he has gotten out of this Raiders team. How about Oakland winning 5 games this season with 1 p.m. Eastern Time kickoffs? JT, you were there between 2012 and 2014. They won 2 road games, period, during 3 seasons. It is such a different culture, a different atmosphere. I give them a lot of respect. And as for Jacksonville, well, I think that's the biggest difference is maybe the coaches in Oakland are just that much better than what you have going on in Jacksonville, which is probably one of the big reasons that, hey, Jacksonville will be cleaning house at the end of the season.
Alex Marvez, one of the premier NFL insiders from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Look at Mac and the way he's coming around again. He doesn't have a slump. If they were blocking him differently, so we had a slow start early on. They were chipping him. They were leaving a running back in. Is it now just his physicality that starts to wear down teams in the second half of the year? He's young. He gets stronger. He gets smarter on every play. Assess his play through this point.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with all that. Plus, let's remember here, this secondary was pretty bad early on, right? I mean, teams, you know, started with the New Orleans game, and a lot of folks able to have success throwing the football against the Raiders. I think as this group started to gel, you know, and as Reggie Nelson became comfortable, Carl Joseph, a rookie, starts to contribute, Sean Smith starts to figure out this Raiders defense, it's not just easy to throw a bunch of new faces out there and expect instant continuity. So I think that has something to do with it as well. Better play on the back end. If you can hold a guy for a half second, you know, from completing a pass, maybe that's all Khalil Mack needs. Excuse me, I give the Raiders credit because they've adjusted, right? And you look at Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton, and Jack stuck with Ken. Hey, maybe another coach would have gone ahead and done like Rex Ryan and Greg Roman and throw his coordinator under the bus and said, nah, you know, we'll get a new guy in. No, in this case, Jack worked with Ken. And these guys are now coming together and coming up with ways to fix things to get Khalil Mack on track. So, you know, it's not an effort thing with Khalil either. I mean, the guy's a beast. It didn't go his way early on. It's coming on now, and the Raiders are a better team for it.
Alex, I'm very fortunate and lucky that I built a relationship with Ken Stabler and his family, where they invited me out to the festivities, and I had a first-row look at all of that. And even when Joe Horrigan came back for the halftime ceremony that I emceed, and I didn't feel tension with the Stabler family and obviously Joe Horrigan, and I know how important the legacy was to Al Davis, and Mark Davis really cares about the Stabler family. You've been talking about this as much as everybody, about the jacket and the ring. You talked to Kendra. You've talked to the family. What can change here? What type of pressure is the Hall of Fame feeling now due to your reporting?
Well, the story that came out on SportingNews.com was about a private conversation with Mark that he allowed me to share because I would never betray that confidence in the people I talked to. And, you know, Mark sat down with me for about 10 minutes. We were just about to watch practice up at Napa, and he said, look, I can't believe this with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he was livid. You know, he was so angry, and he said, I'm going to talk to David Baker, the president of the Hall. We need to get the ring and jacket to Ken Stabler and his family. Well, sometimes the Hall of Fame, quite honestly, as an entity, doesn't react well to being put in a corner, and I think that's what ended up happening when Kendra went public with her comments about the Hall of Fame, and then it really started to escalate. There's some other issues as well. Can the Hall of Fame set up budgeting? And I'm not being facetious here, because I know it's a multi-million-dollar organization, but it also, if I'm not mistaken, is one of those tax-free entities. So change, it doesn't happen overnight necessarily. But if you do this for the Stablers, are you going to be going back in time and rewarding jackets and rings to every posthumously inducted Hall of Famer? Which is fine with me. I'm cool with all that, but you got to have a budget for it as well, if you know what I'm saying. I would hope in the 2017 offseason that there can be a way to get this resolved, that the Stabler family gets the ring and the jacket. But because this all went public and boiled over the way that it did, and the Hall of Fame dug in and said, we're not doing this, well, right now, I don't think that's an atmosphere and an environment that's for it, but I would not be surprised at all if in 2017 this gets resolved.
Okay, as we wrap it up, I'm going to quickly go through the Raiders' schedule. You know, Monday night is in Mexico City, Houston, then Carolina and Buffalo at home, and then in December, Kansas City on a Thursday night at the Chargers, Andrew Luck in Indy, then at Denver. Looking at a 7-2 team, I'm not going to hold you to it because we've been friends a long time. But is this a 10-win team, 11 or 12-win team, in your opinion?
I look at them at about 11-win team. You know, and by the way, I will be in Mexico City. At least that is the plan for Monday Night Football next week. And because it is such a historic event, and I cannot wait to see Raider Nation south of the border. I think it's going to be absolutely unbelievable, and there's no way I could pass up on having the opportunity to see such an incredible thing. So I'm excited about that. I think 11-5 is probably the realistic one. Look, they may have the thing too. About Denver, this is a curious one. Will this game matter? And I just say that because can the Raiders get this thing wrapped up before the end of the season? Is there any way that they can extend their lead so that over Kansas City and Denver, that game in Week 17, well, you know what, Denver could score a zillion points on them. It doesn't matter because the Raiders will be locked into the postseason. The other good news for whoever wins the AFC West is this. With the way the AFC North is going, with the AFC South and the Houston Texans not being a very good team, you know, they are 6-3, but, you know, who really believes in them? There is a very legit chance of getting that first-round playoff bye. Could you imagine if the playoffs return to the Oakland Coliseum? I mean, JT, I'm just salivating at the thought of seeing Raider Nation showing up for a home playoff game because it has been so darn long. What has it been since 2002 season since the Raiders have hosted a game? JT, that would just be off the chain. And I think it could propel the Raiders, if they win this division, into an AFC championship game. And then all bets are off from there.
Fabulous as always, my friend. Talk to you soon. Thanks for the time.
For you, JT, anytime. Be good, baby.